tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Never enough. I keep trying.
You've never left my side. You have always been here for me. Let me go. Soon and soon the season will end. I'll surrender tonight. You meet me right where I am. Oh, okay. Holy one, friend of sinners, God's own son, God in flesh.
Welcome, everyone. I hope all of you had an amazing week since the last time we were together. Thank you for joining me today here on The Hope Show. How many times have you said to yourself, well, I've messed up again? How many times in your life have you done something and then later regretted that you did that certain thing? I think we have all been there at some point in our life. We have all said this to ourselves. I bet we still even think this from time to time. I know I do. For some of us, perhaps more often than others. But you know what, guys? That is being human. We all make mistakes. Not one person living on this earth is perfect. In fact, being human means that you're going to make mistakes along the journey of life. Not all of them are intentional. Some are by accident. Some are poor planning. Some are just bad choices. Some are caused by peer pressure. There are a multitude of reasons why we make mistakes, folks. Today's message is I'm only human. From the time we are born, we are learning in stages. We are learning our way in this world, and we're learning behavior. And that comes with certain consequences. We make lots of decisions throughout our life, and they are all life lessons. Some will be good choices, some will be bad choices. Hopefully, we will learn something through the choices that we make and perhaps not make the same mistakes over and over again. You would think that each of us get, as each of us get a decade older, you would think that with each decade, we would become wiser and less likely to make mistakes. In some cases, that is true, but not in all cases. But no matter how old you get, there will never be a time when you will no longer make any mistakes at all. Never. Until the day we pass from this earth, we are continually learning new things and growing. But you will never grow into perfection. If a person holds on to each of those bad choices into their future, you know, those bad choices are a mark against us, you know, and then we'll regret, you know, the past, and shame and guilt will eventually overwhelm us. However, we look at each mistake as, we should look at each mistake as a natural part of a learning experience. Then, we can truly learn from them instead of feeling bad about our decisions that led us to those consequences that we didn't like. Making bad decisions and making mistakes in your life doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you just what you are, human. Now, I know some people in society, you know, get a bad rap, you know. People who are addicted to drugs or to alcohol or perhaps have seen prison time and, you know, various things that society calls bad, you know, or labels worse than some other crimes, you know, or whatever. But I want to just make this statement again. Making bad decisions and having mistakes in your life does not make you a bad person. It makes you human. In Psalms 139:13, it says, "You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's womb." Somewhere in your house, there may be an old truck sitting in the garage that's broken down, taking up space. You think about getting rid of it, but it has sat there so long, and yet you just can't quite bring yourself to part with it because it belonged to perhaps your father or your grandfather. It has sentimental value. Perhaps you have a sweater that you seldom ever wear. Maybe it's too small for you now. You know you should probably get rid of it. It's just taking up space in your closet. But love won't let you. It's the devotion of the person expressing love for that sentimental object. You think about all that came to pass, the history behind these objects, and you think of how you came to possess that truck or that sweater. It is valuable not because of its function, but because of the person who gave it to you. And this is how God feels about each one of us. He made us in our mother's womb. He knew the hairs on our head before we were ever born. Our name was written in the book before our conception. He knew the trials and the tribulations that we would face, the joys, the mistakes we would make, even as we were being created. And yet, He went ahead, and He made us anyway, knowing we were flawed and would sin. He created us unique, and with so much care, tenderness, and love. Folks, you are not an accident. You are not mass-produced. You are not an assembly line product. Each and every one of us were deliberately and purposely planned, specifically gifted, and lovingly positioned on this earth by the master craftsman. You might say, what about the poor? What about the people who are mean to us? What about the physically handicapped? What about the terminally ill? The list of what-ifs could go on and on and on. But I say this, none were more shunned by their culture than the blind, lame, lepers, and the deaf. They had no place, no name, no value. They were considered canker sores on society, excess baggage, if you will. But those whom the people call trash, Jesus calls treasure. Think about that for a moment, folks. The people that some today would call trash is treasure in God's eyes. When people come to know the Lord and accept Him into their life, believing that Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins and was later resurrected, when you believe with all of your heart and your soul that Jesus died and paid our debt of sin, paid in full, when the people repent of their sin and pray for the Lord's forgiveness and are baptized in water by the Holy Spirit, there is never a point at which you are any less saved than you were the first moment Christ saved you. Just because you are grumpy at the breakfast table doesn't mean you are condemned at breakfast. When you lost your temper yesterday, you didn't lose your salvation. Your name doesn't disappear and reappear in the book of life according to your mood and actions. You are saved not for what you did, but for what Christ did for you. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible tells us that Christ had no sin, but God made Him become sin so that in Christ we would become right with God again. Regardless of what we have done, it is never too late. Never too late, fellow brothers and sisters. Regardless of how far we have fallen, it is never too late. Never too late to get back up. Never too late to get right with God. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made or how low the mistakes were. It's never too late to dig down, pull out the mistake, and then let it go. And be set free from the bondage of your wrongs. Isn't that an amazing thing to know, fellow brothers and sisters? Doesn't that just give you chills and goosebumps? That you are never any less saved than the day that you were saved in Christ. No matter how low the mistake you made, how large the mistake you made, it's never too late to let it go. and be set free from the bondage. I made a foolish mistake not too long ago. I felt horrible about what I had done. I prayed. I asked God's forgiveness, and yet I found myself picking it back up and carrying that mistake with me for several days, rolling it around in my head, making myself feel miserable. And then one day, I was having my quiet time with the Lord, and His message rang loud and clear in my brain. And I was then able to let it go and set myself free. Praise God that He is such an awesome and powerful, loving and faithful God who answers prayers and never gives up on us, though sometimes we might give up on ourselves. So you see, I'm not perfect either. I make mistakes often, as I am sure all of you do too. I have to ask God's forgiveness on a daily basis. Perhaps I've said something I shouldn't have. Maybe I'm having a moment of stinking thinking. Maybe I woke up on the wrong side of the bed that morning and I'm cranky, and I have to catch myself. Maybe I'm feeling grumbly and you know, I get up and I'm grumbling under my breath, oh, there's no coffee made, and ugh, this is left out, or whatever, and I start complaining. Perhaps I'm late getting somewhere and I get behind a farmer that slows my progress down even more. Maybe I put expectations on someone or assume something that I shouldn't have. Maybe I'm with my friends and I find myself getting caught up in gossip or certain behaviors that I shouldn't be. Perhaps I stubbed my toe on something and before I knew what my mouth was saying, a bad word had came out. Some of you may be thinking right now, well, if Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and our debts are paid in full, then why does Jesus teach us to pray, to forgive us of our debts? If we are already forgiven, then why is it necessary for us to pray for forgiveness? Confessions create peace, folks. Confessions create peace. Also, it is for the very same reason that you would want your children to apologize to you when they did something wrong. Think about that for a moment. If one of my children disobeyed a rule or a law in my house, violated one of my standards, I wouldn't automatically disown them. I wouldn't automatically just throw them out of my house and tell them that they're on their own. I'm done with them. No, I wouldn't do that. I would expect for them to be honest and apologize for their mistake. Until they do that, the tenderness and the intimacy in our relationship, the relationship between parent and child, will suffer. The nature of the relationship, the fact that they are my child, won't change. I won't stop loving my child, but the intimacy in that relationship between parent and child will change. It will be affected. You will feel apart from each other, distanced. And the very same thing happens in our walk with God. Confession doesn't create a relationship with God, but it nourishes it. If you are a believer, then admitting your sins will not alter your position with God. Because once you're saved, you're saved. But it will enhance your peace with God. I have a few quotes that I would like to share with you. Maybe this will make you feel better as well about the fact that we're all fallible. Lawrence writes, "Do not take yourself too seriously. You have to learn not to be dismayed at making mistakes. No human being can avoid failure." Then this next one I find is sort of amusing. Shelby says, "I think making mistakes and discovering them for yourself is of great value. But to have someone else to point out your mistakes to you is a shortcut to the process." I totally agree with that. Even though sometimes I might not like that, I totally agree with that. Making mistakes and discovering them for yourself is of great value. But to have someone else point that out to you, to point out your own mistakes to you, is a shortcut of the process. Benjamin says, great services are not canceled out by one act or single error. Or how about this one from Elbert Hubbard? The greatest mistake you can make in life is to be continually fearing that you will make one. If you constantly live in fear, that isn't healthy. The greatest mistake that you can make in life is to be continually fearing that you will make one. And chances are good that if you're continually in fear of something, you know, fear of making a mistake, then you're going to go overboard in the opposite direction, and chances are you're going to make more mistakes because you're putting so much emphasis on not doing it. Fellow brothers and sisters, when you make a mistake, don't dwell on it for very long. That's what I did like a few weeks ago whenever I made a silly mistake. I dwelled on it for several days. And I made myself miserable, even though I had, you know, immediately, you know, fell down on my knees and said, God, forgive me. I am so sorry. I should not have done that. I still carried that burden of that mistake with me for several days. And I knew that that was foolish. I knew I'd already asked for forgiveness. I knew I was forgiven. But I wouldn't let it go. And isn't that how all of us are at sometimes? But even though I did that, I'm telling you. And even though I knew that it was wrong to dwell on it, I did it anyway. I kept picking it up, picking it up, picking it up, instead of leaving it at God's feet. And I'm telling you, folks, don't make that same mistake. Don't dwell on it for too long. Pray to God, ask His forgiveness, leave the mistake at His feet, and move forward. Think about the reason it happened, and then look forward. Mistakes are lessons of wisdom. The past can't be changed, but we have the power in our future. Mistakes are portals of discovery. Mistakes are portals of discovery to ourself. If you have made some serious mistakes, there is always another chance for you. Failure isn't falling down. Failure is staying down. Sometimes in trying to avoid mistakes, we make the biggest ones of all. Here's another quote that I really like from Oscar Wilde. Experience is the name everyone gives to their mistakes. Experience is the name everyone gives to their mistakes. Oh, isn't that so true, folks? So true. But do you know that mistakes show us what we need to improve on? They do. Think about that. Mistakes show us where we need to improve. Without mistakes, how would we know what we needed to work on? So instead of dwelling on your mistakes, think about them. Ask for forgiveness and move on. Consider mistakes as blessings, because they are. Even mistakes, as crazy as that may sound, are blessings in disguise. We need them to know where we need to improve. We need them as a life lesson, so hopefully we'll learn from it and not repeat it in our future. Without them, we wouldn't learn anything. I think we all wish there were some mistakes that we wish we could erase from our life. Those dark times in our lives, you guys probably know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you guys have been there. I know I've been there. I've made some mistakes in my past, you know, some 15, 20 years ago that I'm not proud of, and I certainly do wish I could erase that from my life. They were some dark times. But you know what? In looking back, I can now see that they were a blessing. It wasn't pleasant, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. I wouldn't want to go back there again. But they were a blessing in disguise, because without that lesson in my life, I wouldn't be where I'm at today talking to you folks. I wouldn't be the person that I am right now, today, if I hadn't had all of my mistakes in life, my life experiences. So don't be too hard on yourself when you make a mistake. Consider it a life lesson. Consider it a blessing. Think about it for a moment to see what you were supposed to have learned from that, and move on. All of life's experiences, good and bad, make you who you are today. Erasing any of those past mistakes would probably be the biggest mistake of all. Rejoice in your mistakes, but learn from them, and try not to repeat them. Always strive to do better, to be better. The one real mistake is that of one made that we never learned anything. But remember this, even mistakes can be turned around for our greater good. Trust in the Lord. Have faith. It always works out in the end. And upon that note, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break here and play you a few songs, and then I'll return once the songs are done.
She's on her own. Two girls at home. 13 years just up and walked away. Left her all alone with bills to pay and miles to feed. And every day she's taking care of everybody else's need. But she's finding the strength from the one that won't ever leave her. She works and she prays and she loves and she stays, cause they need her. These are the heroes, just ordinary people, laying down their lives like angels in disguise. The weak but always willing, they dare to do the hard things. And in the dark and desperate places no one else goes, find the heroes. You find the heroes.
He walks the halls against the flow. He sees his high school as his mission field. He's broken cause he knows the hopeless roads that they are taking, the empty feelings they future's wasted, so he's willing to stand alone. He lives what he believes when they all say it's not worth believing. Every night on his knees he prays, God, won't you please help me reach them.
These are the heroes, just ordinary people, laying down their lives like angels in disguise. The weak and in the dark and desperate places no one else goes, you find the heroes. You find the heroes. And you may never know their name, but they're moving mountains just the same. Searching for the spotlight, they'll follow Jesus into the darkest night. Heroes, these are the heroes.
These are the heroes.
These are the heroes. Extraordinary people, laying down their lives like angels in disguise. I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods and I lost my way. It was getting late and I was scared and alone. Then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Mama couldn't see him, but he was standing there. But I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, and guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend just to say I understand. Now ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of the road, someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, and guide us with the light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places, grace us with their mercies in our time of need. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love, to guide us with the light of love.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the songs during the break. You have to excuse me a moment. That last song really touched my heart. And I put something on chat there that was kind of an inner feeling, and kind of let the cat out of the bag. Trying to collect myself. I want to thank all of you for joining me today here on The Hope Show. It is always such an honor having all of you take time out of your day and choose to spend it with me here on The Hope Show. How many times have you said to yourself, "Well, I've messed up once again"? How many of you feel as if you've made it a habit to mess things up in your life? How many of you carry around excess baggage on a daily basis from something that happened in your past, and you just can't seem to quite get over it? Maybe you think your mistakes have been too big to correct. Maybe you're kicking yourself for repeating the same mistakes over and over again. Maybe you're disappointed with yourself because you keep vowing to yourself that you'll never do that thing again. And yet, even with the best of intentions, you find yourself doing that thing anyway. All of us feel that way. You are not alone. Today's message is I'm only human. As I was saying earlier in the show, we make lots of decisions throughout our life. They are life lessons. Some will be good choices and some will be bad choices. Hopefully we will learn something through the choices we make and perhaps not make the same mistakes we've made in the past. You would think that each of us, as we get a decade older, that with each decade we would become wiser and less likely to make mistakes. In some cases that is true, but not in all cases. But no matter how old you get, there will never be a time when you will no longer make any mistakes at all. It's important for each and every one of us to realize, to know, that it is impossible to grow perfection. We will always have failure in our life. But the good news is that's okay. That's okay, folks. Because we're only human. Our lives were actually designed that way. We were created that way. We have no say in that matter. That should put some of you, you know, off the hook just a little bit. That is not to say that we are not to go around doing whatever feels good at the moment, intentionally not caring if we make a good or a bad choice, because that is not how life works. But then the regret, shame, and guilt will eventually overwhelm you. If a person holds on to each bad choice, it's a mark against them. Making bad decisions and having mistakes in your life, as I said earlier, does not make you a bad person. It just means that you made a bad choice, that you're human. I mentioned a very valid point earlier that I'd like to repeat again. You probably have something laying around your house, something that you're particularly fond of, that is just taking up space, and you know you have no more space. And that you keep thinking, you know, I need to get rid of that. But something within you doesn't want you to let go of that thing, whatever that thing may be in your life. Love won't let it go. You think of all the history behind that object you possess, and it's valuable not because of its function, but because of the person who gave it to you. This is how God feels about each one of us, His children. He made us in our mother's womb. He knew the hairs on our head before we were even born. Our name was written in book before our conception. He knew the trials and the tribulations we would face, the joys, the mistakes we would make, even as we were being created, and yet He went ahead and He made us anyway. Knowing we were flawed and would sin, He created us unique and with so much care, so much tenderness, so much love. And this next part is the part that I find to be the greatest part of all. You are not an accident, folks. You're not an accident. God created you just the way you are. You are not mass-produced. You're not an assembly line product. Each and every one of us was deliberately and purposely planned, specifically gifted, and lovingly positioned on this earth by our Heavenly Father. How much more amazing can that get? Think of the power in that statement. God put a lot of thought, a lot of creativity and effort and loving into our creation. He created us just as imperfectly as we are, and yet He loves us enough that He never wants to see us destroyed or lost or separated from Him. There is nothing we can do or say that will separate us from the love of God. Let me ask you this question. Do you have children of your own? Then think about this for a moment if you do. If one of your children disobeyed a rule or a law in your house, violated one of your standards, would you automatically disown them? Would you automatically throw them out of your house and tell them that you're done with them, that you don't want nothing more to do with them, that they're on their own? You wouldn't tell them that. You wouldn't tell them that you're done with them and that you never want to see them again. No. You would want them to own up to their mistakes and apologize. This is what God wants from each of us, His children. We are God's children. Wow. I'm in awe. No matter how big your mistake or how small, God still wants us. He wants each and every one of us. He still loves us. You still belong to Him. Remember what I said earlier? None were more shunned by their culture than the blind, the lame, the lepers, and the deaf. They had no place, no name, no value. They were considered canker sores on society. Excess baggage, if you will. But those whom society calls trash, Jesus calls treasure. Think about that a moment. Oh my goodness. The power in that statement. The people, the society that calls them trash here on earth, is treasure in God's eye. So if you are beating yourself up for something you have did, something you continue to do, for the mistakes that you most certainly will make in the future, remember that in God's eyes you are not trash. You are His precious treasure. That's good stuff, folks. So let me pose another question to you. So what if you're only human? Sometimes people use this statement when they realize they've made a mistake. People use this statement when they feel as if they can't achieve any more in their life. People also use this statement when they have lost control of themselves. Does any of this sound familiar to any of you? Does being human imply some kind of weakness? Does it imply that we are at a disadvantage? What if there is so much more to the meaning of the statement, we are only human? What if? Well, there is. There is more meaning to that. Realizing that you've made a mistake means that you have the ability of self-awareness. Most, if not any other creature, is capable of the skill that we take for granted. Animals can be disciplined, but they can't learn from their mistakes. God created the animals and humans in very specific ways, designed for very specific works. Plants don't know or care if they're growing in somebody's way. Self-awareness is an invaluable tool so that we humans, can learn from our mistakes and know how to do it right the next time. There are a few things that you must understand about human nature. Humans have a great ability to push ourselves beyond our own limits. The first thing I want to share with you is that you always put limits on what you can do, physical or anything else. And when you do that, when you place too many limits upon yourself, it'll spread over the entire rest of your life. It'll spread into work, into your morality, and into your entire being. There are truly no limits to what we can do with God's ever-present strength, God willing. There are hills and valleys, but you can't allow yourself to stay stuck in one certain place. You must move beyond these hills and valleys. Keep moving forward. We really shouldn't underestimate ourselves. The next thing I want to point out is that, as I said before, humans are very, very unique. We can override our genetic programming, which tells us to constantly eat or sleep or make good or bad decisions, repeating certain cycles in our life from one generation to the next, and so on and so forth. We can break those chains of those things, but we don't have to do or be a certain way. It's important for us to remember that, you know, that we don't have to be that person who eats and sleeps and makes bad decisions or repeats certain cycles in our life from one generation to the next. We don't have to do that. We can break those things. Those things are our choice. We don't have to be lazy, greedy, or aggressive. We don't have to continually find ourselves in trouble with the law or being prone to bad relationships. The more knowledge that we have, the greater the power we have to change certain circumstances. We need to stay educated and stay self-aware. We are all born with a conscience, an inner sense of what is right and wrong. We are all capable of making right choices that will reduce our own suffering and increase our own happiness. We have the ability to control our desires and emotions. Hopefully throughout our life we have learned what triggers us to behave in certain ways, and we've learned how to steer clear of those problem areas. For example, if you are now a believer, but before you were saved, you hung around with friends who were also non-believers, and you frequented bars and you drank a lot, and now, as a believer, you know that you can't associate with certain people in certain places that you used to frequent, or there's a good chance that the temptation to revisit old habits and past lives will overcome you and you will make a bad choice. Humans have done some incredibly stupid things throughout history. We all have our own strengths and weaknesses. It's up to us how we choose to use our time and our talents. After all, we are only human, right? I think sometimes people carry this statement too far, though, and they use it as an excuse to do wrong and justify it to themselves and to others. If a task is particularly impossible to do on our own, then no, that's not an excuse. But if you do something morally wrong and you use this statement, then yes, you may be using this statement as a crutch for why you couldn't behave better. Humans are very complex creatures. Our skull is a container for a brain that has a vast amount of knowledge. We are born with a conscience. We are raised up to know right and wrong. We have the ability to learn from our mistakes and not repeat them. So, in some cases, I would have to argue the fact that the statement, "I am only human," is actually an acceptable excuse for doing something you know you shouldn't have. Our lives are one big decision after another, every single day. Granted, some mistakes we make are purely by accident, but some mistakes are willingly, we willingly walk right into those. We don't listen to the little voice inside our head that tries to tell you to walk away, back off. In fact, we boldly ignore it. And when this happens, we are granting Satan permission to enter into our life through our strongholds. We have no one to blame but ourselves for this when things go awry, and later you find yourself filled with regret. Yes, I am human too. I have fleshly desires. I am tempted by the things of this world just as you are. And yes, I sin. I fall short of God's glory every day. Nobody, and I repeat, nobody is perfect. We are all selfish in a sense, and we all make mistakes. But we all have choices too. We control the choices that we make. Though I am human and do fail, I try not to use that as an excuse for my failure because no one is twisting my arm when I make a stupid decision. In Matthew 7:20, it says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." In Proverbs 20:11, it says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right." Therefore, folks, when we boldly and purposely stray from right decisions, this lame excuse for abusing the statement, "I'm only human," falls short for me. In other words, what you are truly translating is, "Hey, what do you expect from me? After all, I'm only human." God doesn't see it that way. God created all things, including accountability, and certain guidelines for proper behavior for humans. No one else should judge you, but God will. He will be the judge of you when your time is up on earth. My question to you, fellow brothers and sisters, this morning is, how do you want to be judged? I believe there's a fine line between a mistake and a purposeful intent. A mistake is something you do accidentally or inadvertently. However, if you purposely repeat the same mistake over and over again, then that becomes purposeful intent. You know better, and yet you keep doing certain things. People who make genuine mistakes will apologize and try not to repeat those same mistakes again. Let me give you some examples that clearly are just not mistakes, but are also purposeful intent. You can gossip about someone to someone else, you cannot gossip about someone to someone else. It's not a mistake when you choose to do that. You cannot lie to people by mistake. You cannot snoop through someone else's belongings by mistake. You can't criticize and belittle people or snoop into someone else's business by mistake. You can't go out there and get sloppy drunk by mistake. You can't take your mom and dad's car for a joyride by mistake. There is no such thing as accidentally disowning someone. In these cases, maybe you're trying to define a mistake as making a decision that turned out to be a poor judgment. We have all demonstrated poor judgment in our lives. None of us are exempt from that. But you see, when you do this, you are admitting that you made a deliberate decision. You intentionally chose to do something. And these examples that I mentioned above, you know, here, like criticizing and belittling people and going out and getting drunk or taking off with your mom and dad's car, things like that, these things that I mentioned, you know, you intentionally chose to do those things. You did not accidentally or mistakenly gossip, lie, cheat, steal, criticize, belittle, get drunk, rob a bank, etc. You just didn't. It might not have turned out to be the wisest decision you ever made, but it certainly was not by accident. It was a decision. You know, folks, life is like rolling the dice sometimes. Sometimes you do right, and sometimes you fail. Evil will always disguise itself as good. Have you noticed that? Evil will always disguise itself as good. That's the only way it can operate. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And this is why this next verse I'm about to read is so very, very important. From Ephesians 6:11-13. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on, to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. On that note, I'm going to go ahead and take another short break and play you another couple of songs, and I'll return shortly.
Can't separate. Even if I ran away, your love never failed. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercy for me every day. Your love never failed. Sing it, you stay.
I know that you love.
Welcome back to all my listeners. I am so happy to have all of you joining me today here on The Hope Show. I hope you have been enjoying today's message. How many times have you said to yourself, "Oh, darn it, I did it again. I messed up. I shouldn't have done that." Do you feel as if you've messed up so many times in your life that you ask yourself, "Why would God forgive me when I can't even forgive myself because I just seem to do the same crazy stuff over and over and over again?" Do you feel as if you've ran out of chances in this life because you've done wrong too many times? Are you frustrated, discouraged, and disappointed in yourself because you keep telling yourself, "I will never do that again. I will never do that again." And yet you find yourself doing it time after time. If you answered yes to any of these questions, then today's message is for you. All of us feel that way sometimes. You are not alone. Today's message is, "I'm only human." But there is great news, folks. First of all, no one is perfect. Not one of us. And secondly, no matter how hard you try, no one can grow perfection. But that is okay. That is how God designed each and every one of us. Making bad decisions and having mistakes in your life does not make you a bad person. As I said earlier, you know, sometimes society looks down on folks that, you know, maybe have been raped or are in abusive relationships or maybe they're addicted to some sort of substance or maybe they've been in jail or, you know, sometimes people look down on these folks, but they're not bad people. They just make bad choices in life. They're all human. They're all equal to each and every one of us. And so, you know, we have to keep that in mind. In Psalms 139:13, it says, "You made my whole being. You formed me in your mother's womb." Mistakes are life experiences, folks. Not one of us out there can say that we are innocent of any mistakes. So when someone, you know, and you're not supposed to ever judge because, you know, God will judge us in the same measure that we judge someone else. And so when you're thinking about somebody else, you know, don't be looking down on them. Don't be looking down your nose because you're not any better than they are. You've done something in your life, I'm sure. Maybe you just weren't caught. You know? So hopefully, with these life experiences, we'll learn from them and we won't repeat them again. Our name was written in God's book before conception. He knew the trials and the tribulations we would face, the joys, the mistakes we would make, even as we were being created. And yet He went ahead and He made us anyway, knowing that we were flawed and that we would sin. He created us unique, and with so much care and tenderness and love. As I have said earlier several times, but it is so important that I keep telling you this and emphasizing this. You are not an accident. Right now, where you are, what you have done, no matter how many times, God knew it would come to pass. And He loved you enough to go ahead with your creation. That must tell you something. The master craftsman planted you lovingly in the position you are here on this earth. God didn't make any trash. Instead, He sees you and I as His precious treasure. Yes, even after all the mistakes you've made in your lifetime, we are still a treasure to our loving Father in heaven. Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins and was later resurrected. When you believe that Jesus dying paid our debt of sin, paid in full, and when you repent of your sin and you pray for the Lord's forgiveness, being baptized in the water by the Holy Spirit, there is never a point when you are any less saved than you were the first moment Christ saved you. Your name doesn't disappear or reappear in the book of life according to your moods or your actions. You are saved not for what you did, but for what Christ did for you. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible tells us that Christ had no sin, but God made him become sin so that in Christ we could become right with God. Regardless of what you have done, it is never too late. Never. Regardless of how far we have fallen, it is never too late. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made or how low the mistakes were. It's never, never too late to dig them up, pull them out of the past, and let them go. To be set free from your own bondage. Think about this for a moment. As I said earlier, if one of your children disobeyed a rule or a law in your house, you would not automatically disown them. You would not automatically throw them out of your house and tell them that you never wanted to have anything to do with them ever again. No. I don't know a parent out there in the world that would do that to their child. Well, there probably are some out there, but, you know, the vast majority would not. That thought would never even cross their mind. You would expect them to be honest and apologize. Until they do this, the tenderness and the intimacy and the relationship between parent and child will suffer. The nature of the relationship, the fact that they are our child and we are the parent, won't change. You won't stop loving your child, but the intimacy, the closeness between you, will change. You will feel apart from each other and distanced. The same happens in our walk with God. The Lord tells us that if we are honest and we apologize to Him and we ask His forgiveness for our wrong, that in Psalms 103:12 it says, "And as the east is far from the west, so will our evil be far from us." And how about this verse in Romans 8:38 and 39? "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a powerful and profound verse. Almost too powerful and profound for us humans to even comprehend the depth of that kind of unconditional love. And yet for us who have children, we can come close to understanding that same kind of unconditional love. For believers, these verses are God's promise for us. But it's never too late for the non-believer to become a believer and turn yourself over to God. While we are on the subject that we are only human, since tomorrow is Easter Sunday, I also want to talk specifically to the believers out there in the audience for a brief moment about why Jesus had to die on the cross for you and I. The truth about the crucifixion. First of all, it was essential to God's plan for our salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But with our sin comes penalty. In Romans 3:23 through 25, the Bible tells us that for all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by our faith, to be justified through the redemption on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross for us. It declares us not guilty. We can't pay for our sin, folks. We are born with a sinful nature and we sin over and over again. We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything. And we can't do anything physical to save ourselves. This could only occur through Jesus' death on the cross. At the end, just before Jesus died on the cross, He said one last thing. "It is finished. It is finished." Death on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. God substituted his Son for us on that cross. And yet we are so proud of ourselves for all that we do for ourselves. But in reality, we are only allowed to do what God wants us to do. We can do nothing without God. Many of us have, at different times in our lives, unfollowed Jesus. Yet the goal is to follow. There is always an open invitation for us to follow. God stands at the door and knocks for us to open that door and accept Him in every single day. He is a persistent God, a diligent God, a loving God, a faithful God. And He stands at the door every single day and knocks and waits for us to open that door and accept Him in. Everyone is invited to follow Jesus. Everyone is invited to have an intimate relationship with Him. Being a sinner and having doubts is a requirement, in fact, for something else to happen or to exist. The goal of following is to take us to an overwhelming faith in the Lord. Followers all dress alike. Following will assuredly cost you. Followers, though, are great leaders. And yet, for whatever circumstance in your life, there will and perhaps have come a time when you will consider to unfollow Jesus. It will be during a time of transformation. Perhaps you will think that it just doesn't matter anymore. Maybe it will become inconvenient for you, too hard, circumstantial. Perhaps the Jesus thing seems to just get in the way of something. Perhaps you're going through difficult times and you've been praying and praying and praying and nothing seems to be happening. You aren't hearing God anymore. But if you listen carefully, Jesus is whispering, "You are not thinking of leaving me too, are you?" For Jesus knows our every thought and desire. But what you need to think about is, if you're not following Jesus, then what are you going to follow? If we are not following Jesus, we will follow someone or something else. So what will you follow? Sometimes you're overwhelmed with temptation. You just want to walk away. You want to do something else with your life. But to whom will you go? Jesus invites you into something big, something with purpose. But what if you leave? Do you think that if you leave, you will truly be satisfied if you follow something or someone else? These are all very important questions to ask yourself. More than likely, there will come a day when you regret unfollowing Jesus. And you will wish you could turn back the hands of time, that you could go back and make the decision to unfollow Jesus. There will be regrets, but you can't go back and change the things that you do in your past. Of course, transitions, temptation, troubles, they all create questions in our mind and leave us with doubts. But it's a huge mistake to stray from God. Maybe you don't have the answer to all of your problems, but that doesn't mean that there isn't an answer waiting for you just around the corner. Maybe it just hasn't been found yet. I would strongly recommend that you don't make any rash decisions or make a move at all until you know what that answer is. Consider the questions. Consider the options. Because refusing to follow Christ can cost you everything. Is it worth that price? I want to leave you on that note with a song. And after this short break, I want to invite all of you to call in and speak with Shaziz and I about today's message. Be thinking about if there is something that has been laid upon your heart during this message that you'd like to call in and share with us. Stay tuned after this song. ¶¶
jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
Yeah, he loves us. presence, his love is so thick and tangible in this room tonight. And there are some of you here that have not encountered the love of God. And tonight, God wants to encounter you and wants you to feel his love, his amazing love. Without it, these are just songs, these are just words, these are just instruments. Without the love of God, it's just like we're just up here just making noise. But the love of God changes us, and we're never the same. We're never the same after we encounter the love of God. We're never the same after we encounter the love of God. And right now, if you haven't encountered the love of God, and you would know, because you wouldn't be the same. You would never be the same again. And if you want to encounter the love of God right now, you better just brace yourself, because he's about to just blow in this place. And we're going to encounter the love of God right now. So God, I speak to all the hearts, and I ask God that every heart be open right now. Every heart be open. Every spirit be open up to you, God, to you.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Joining me right now is my husband, Shaziz, and a great dear friend of ours, Dom. So I want to welcome them, and the call lines are now open, and I invite you to call in and chat with Shaziz and Dom and I. What do you guys think about today's message?
Yeah, Dom, I was waiting for him to talk.
Oh. Well, Dom said it was really neat. I don't know if you guys were able to hear him back there. He's standing a bit of a distance here.
Being human's easy and sometimes kind of humorous. There's this thing called instantaneous karma. So I got to tell a story on myself. My older brother was standing next to a mud puddle one time, and I usually do this thing where I run up there and stomp sideways on the mud puddle and slosh him real good with all the muddy water, and then run off laughing. Well, this particular instance, I run up there and I stomped on this mud hole with everything I had. All that muddy water went right straight up my crotch, through my face. I was just totally soaking wet with muddy water because that puddle had a lip on the other end, and every bit of water that I stomped out of that mud puddle came up and got me. The look on my brother's face was priceless. He's like, serves you right, jerk. So, like I say, it's easy to be human. Sometimes it can be humorous, too.
Is there any instance in your life that you'd want to share, or something amusing, or
instantaneous karma or anything like that?
I'm thinking. There's a lot.
Well, we'll get back to you. We'll let you think on that for a moment.
Yeah, it's just humans are cool, you know. You just gotta learn how to start enjoying life and learning how to forgive yourself and all that kind of jazz. And in my belief, you got to get right with the Lord.
That's for sure.
So, I hear radio silence.
Yes. Anybody want to call in and chat with us? We're kind of at an odds right now what to say, so we could really use your help.
I got a lot to say. I just didn't want to mouth off too much. Take over the radio show, because I usually, when I get on a roll, I won't shut up. But that's one of those being human things, you know. I'm a kind of social bug. I like to socialize with people. When you get me started, I can't stop sometimes. Everybody's like, man, why don't you just shut up? Am I wrong, lady?
No, that's kind of you. It's normal.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, sometimes it can be amusing. I've seen a few things. Remember the incident, I was mouthing off all the way through the whole entire house, just talking about my man powers and my man skills, and my wife was sitting on a couch all along, and I thought that she was still there, and I went in to use the restroom, and as I come out the restroom and come through the kitchen area, there was a curtain, and I'm thinking she's still on the couch, so I'm still mouthing off, you know, respect my authority, woman, you know, and stuff like that. Come around that corner, and she jumped out and said, boo, and you should have seen me. I was all wrapped up in that blanket, screaming like a little schoolgirl. I about died laughing, because I wasn't expecting her to be there. I was expecting her to still be on the couch, because she was on Facebook, and usually when she get on Facebook, she don't even hear you.
So has a thought come to your mind yet, Dom?
Yeah, talk loud so they can hear you.
Well, on occasion, it'd be raining a lot outside, and day's not going very well, and just, I keep screwing something up, or any number of things, and I want to curse the rain, and, you know, it just plain out miserable, and, you know, I get someone who comes along and either texts me, or says hi, or just in the right positive way, and every now and then in a situation like that, it I don't mind standing out in the rain.
It's not such a bad thing when you got somebody to share it with.
That's right.
It's not a bad thing.
That's a good deal, man.
Jeez. See, a lot of times we need it anyways.
Oh yeah.
I can totally relate to that, because sometimes, you know, things will be going awry like that, and I'll get in a hurry, and I'm impatient, and things seem to be going wrong, and as Dom said, you know, sometimes just that certain person or someone can just say something, and it kind of diffuses that mood, and I know that many times for myself, that's been my husband Shaziz. You know, I'll be getting all uptight about something, and rushing around, and you know, just a word from him, he'll usually say something like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, I mean, my goodness, you know, is it going to matter tomorrow, that kind of thing, and you know, just him telling me that, it's like, it makes me stop dead in my tracks and think, you know, it really isn't going to matter tomorrow.
Yeah, sometimes at first she gets really mad, because she doesn't want me to, like, point out the obvious, because she's not stupid or anything, but whenever I say something like that, she's human, and she wants to own her anger, and so she'll give me that evil eye look, you know, that crazy eye, like, you know, don't talk to me in the morning when I ain't had my coffee. I ain't ready for you yet. You're too happy.
He is a very chronically cheerful person in the morning, and I must say that my daughter and I, Kara, we are not cheerful people in the morning. We have to have our cup of coffee in the morning. We have to have a little bit of a chance to wake up. And I remember when Shaziz and I used to be, when we first got together and everything, he was just like, you know, put your feet on the ground, jump out, you know, big hello, a cheery song, you know, and he's ready to hit the day running. And he used to have this special song that he used to sing to my daughter Karen when she was sleeping.
Good morning to you, good morning to you, good morning dear Kara, and if you're listening, good morning to you. Woo!
And with that song, he got many
shoes,
television remotes.
Lamps, remotes.
He got him launched at him from the bed. He'd stick his head in her bedroom, and through the door he'd sing her this song, and it was kind of a small room, and she always slept with her TV going, and so the remote was right there handy, or a shoe or something, and you'd hear this clunk, and Shaziz would shut the door real fast, and you'd know that he'd sung that good morning song to her.
Yeah. See, just like this, man, you know, I keep saying this, and it's worth repeating. Every single day when you wake up, You got a brand new day. You got a fresh sunrise, and whatever happened yesterday is yesterday, and you can't get it back. You can't do nothing about it. And so you got a whole clean slate to work with. You can make your day a wonderful day, or you can make it bad. And so I like to start my day off on a positive note, and I like to try to get people around me on a positive note. I've woke up cranky a few times, and my wife would be in a good mood, and by the time I got through spewing out all my stuff, she was in a bad mood, and then the whole day went down the toilet.
Yeah, it seems to happen that way. It's usually one of us is in good mood and the other one isn't.
Yeah. But either way, there's a big lesson to be learned from all that. That, you know, you can make or break your own day just by your own actions. You know, that instantaneous karma of me stomping on the mud puddle and the look on my brother's face was, like I said, it was priceless because he just kind of looked at me like, really? He said,
that would have been funny.
Serves you right. And I'm covered with muddy water from head to toe because, you know, I was out to do the deed and it backfired, literally. Oh, man. What a wonderful world, though.
Well, you know, talking about mistakes, you know, as a child, I was probably, maybe 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old, old enough to definitely know better. Kind of dating myself, I guess, but when I was a little kid, I was born and raised on a farm, and my dad and my brother were both mechanics, and I looked up to them, you know, and thought that that was just the greatest thing of all. And I had this little tiny tricycle, and it was one of those little tiny tricycles that was low to the ground, and I believe mine was yellow and green. And it had these big handlebars on it with little tassels. And I used to like to turn that thing upside down in my living room and play mechanic on it, you know. And I thought that I was doing great things by taking off the little rubber handle grips and all this kind of thing, you know. And to me at that age, you know, I was like, oh, I was doing great things, you know. I was being a mechanic like my brother and my dad. And so anyway, I kept sticking my first finger, next closest to my thumb, my first finger in the hole of these handlebars for some reason. I don't know why, but I thought it was cool at the time, I guess just because I could, and I didn't get my finger stuck. Well, my mom, she used to warn me all the time, don't put your finger in these handlebars. Someday you're going to get it stuck. Well, this went on for probably a year or better, and I never got it stuck, and so I kept doing it, and I didn't listen to my mom. And sure enough, it came the day that one day I got my finger stuck in this handlebar. And first of all, you know, I was trying to yank my finger out of the handlebar and everything. I didn't want to tell my mom. She was in the other room cooking lunch or something. I didn't want to tell her because she'd already told me not to do that, so I disobeyed. And so I tried everything I knew in my power to get my finger out of there before I had to call for my mom. Well, no amount of pulling or anything else was going to get my finger out of that handlebar. And so I started to panic. And I called for my mom, and I'm like, Mom, I got my finger stuck in the handlebar. And of course, you know, my mom, she was generally a tender-hearted person and everything. She came in there, she was like, oh my gosh, you know, I told you not to do that, and blah, blah, blah. And by this time, you know, she's trying to yank it out of there too, and nothing's happening, and she's panicking, and my finger was starting to turn blue, and I'll never forget these words out of her mouth. It scared the holy daylights out of me, because, you know, you got to keep in mind, I was probably 5, 6, you know, and so I took everything my mom and dad said literal. And so my mom, she's in a state of panic, and she's not thinking really clearly about what she's saying. She's more or less talking to herself and not me. But what came out of her mouth, she's like, oh my gosh, you know, we may have to cut your finger off to get it out of there. And oh my gosh, you know, I don't know what to do. And you know, and all I heard was cut your finger off. And so, you know, now I'm crying because my mom told me not to do this and I did it. Well, anyway, long story short, I don't know what she did, but eventually, she probably put soap or something on my finger, but eventually we got it out of there. But that was a life lesson learned. That was an experience. And, you know, I never stuck my finger in there again. But yeah, that was a mistake.
Well, my mad science goes all the way back to when I was a kid learning about electricity. I had this huge pair of tweezers, and one day I just like got this crazy idea and plugged it into the light socket, and it like blew me across the room. And the tweezers separated. Mom come in there and there's like black stuff all up the wall. She's like, "Boy, what, you gonna burn down the house? What are you doing? Stop plugging stuff into the wall socket."
You had a great story to tell about your son, Mark, catching the yard on fire, too. Why don't you share that with him? That was certainly a mistake.
Oh, yeah. I was a musician, and I was back there playing my music, and every time I turned around, my son would be coming up there while I'm in the middle of a guitar solo or something, and he would want to talk to me. So I told him, I said, "Boy, don't bother me while I'm playing my guitar. Wait till after I'm done, and then tell me what it is, unless it's emergency. If it's emergency, just tell me." And so one day he comes in there and he's standing there all patient and everything, and he's waiting, and finally I get done playing and I said, "What's up, boy?" And he said, "Dad, the front yard's on fire." I like to freak. I said, "Boy, what what part of emergency didn't you get?" I said, "If it's emergency, you got to tell me right away." He said, "But you said don't bother you while you're playing the guitar." I said, "Well, if the yard's on fire, that's a good reason." Oh, man.
So you ready to squeal on yourself, Dom? What kind of a mistake have you made in the past?
Oh,
you have to talk up a little bit, though.
Yeah, loud so the microphone can hear you. He got stage fright all of a sudden.
Do we need to come back to you?
Might have to. I come around eventually.
Yeah, well, another funny one on my son was... He wanted to get some ice cream, so the ice cream man come driving by with his bell ringing, and my son wanted to rush out there and get him an ice cream, and so I gave him some money, and he went out there to get an ice cream. A few minutes later, after he got his ice cream, he come in, and if you'd have saw this, you probably would have died laughing. The ice cream was sticking to his tongue. He wasn't holding on to it, and he was like going, Dad, why do? You know what I mean? He just took the ice cream straight out of the freezer and stuck it to his tongue to take a lick, and it stuck to his tongue. And so I did everything I could to keep from laughing, and I took him into the kitchen and poured some warm water down on his tongue and got it loose. But that's what it's like being human, man.
That's right.
We all do stuff like that.
Yeah, I have one more thing to tell on myself, and then it'll probably be about time to wrap up the show. But I remember several years ago, it's been quite some time actually, I was at a local town, and I was driving a little Chevelle or something. Those are like really tiny little cars. And I had this pair of sandals that I liked, and they were kind of had a thick sole, and they were kind of clunky and big. And my daughter and I, we were driving around that day, and I got to an intersection in this big town, and I went to apply the brake to stop. And the car just kept going through this intersection and scared the holy daylights out of me because, you know, I've got my daughter in the car and the other people have the green light. I got the red light and I can't get my car to stop. And so I like blazed right through that four-way stop sign. And finally, I got down the road to a little grocery store there and I got it turned around and everything, and I thought my car was malfunctioning, and so I nursed it back to the O'Reilly's, because on the way back I got caught through that same intersection, same thing happened. So I thought, okay, I can't drive 30 minutes home with this being like this. And so I decided I'd stop in an O'Reilly auto parts store there and see if maybe I couldn't get somebody to help me figure out what this problem was. Well, I went in there and I explained to the counter man what had happened. And he comes out there and he takes a look and he says, "I don't see anything wrong." He says, "Are you sure that you weren't putting your foot on the accelerator and the brake at the same time?" And I didn't say this to him, but I'm thinking to myself, well, that would be really stupid. You know, why would I be doing something like that, you know? But I didn't say that to him. I was like, "No, I don't think so." And so anyway, he made me privy to the idea. And so I get back in the car, and I put my foot on the brake and on, you know, right there with the accelerator and everything on my clunky shoe. And come to find out, That's exactly what I did. My big old clunky shoe put the foot on both.
Yeah, I did that with my boots once. Freaked me out, man.
And then I felt like a complete idiot, you know, that I had gone in there and I talked to that guy at O'Reilly, you know, and he's like, there isn't nothing wrong with your car, you know. I know he had to have went inside and was laughing at me because I'm sure he knew exactly what was going on. But anyway, today's message has been about being human, and we're all fallible. We all fall short of the glory of God, and we all do make some crazy, crazy mistakes and some crazy decisions sometimes. But that's what life's all about, and God made us that way, and He knew what would happen to us and how we'd behave or the crazy things we'd do. And with that having been said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up today's show. I love getting together with all of you each and every Saturday. I want to thank all of you out there for listening right now and for being a part of my show today. I want to thank Dom and Shaziz here for joining me at the Shaziz Radio. And I want to thank all the networks out there for broadcasting my show and rebroadcasting it. And so anyway, Shaziz here, he's my rock. And so I really thank him for joining me at the last part of each and every one of my shows. I thank God for this opportunity to give His message to all of you as well from all over the world every week. Tomorrow is Easter, so be thinking about what this means to you. And I want to wish each and every one of you out there a very, very happy Easter. So until next Saturday, same time, same place, God bless each and every one of you. And remember, today's message, the next time that you make a mistake.
Before you stomp in that mud hole on your brother, every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Instant karma.
Take care, everybody. We're out. Love you.